got a Bible with you, and I hope you do, be turning to Ephesians chapter 3. There's also a handout for this morning's lesson on the back of the bulletin, with a couple of blanks if you want to fill those out. And there's two blanks, and there's a lot in these verses that we're going to look at this morning, which is verses 1 through 13. But there's really two big things that I hope we can take away. And so we're looking for those two takeaways that I think are critically important for us to receive from this message from Paul. But we're continuing this morning in our series called God's Mystery Revealed, which is a study of the letter to the Ephesians. Steve just led us in a song, God Moves in Mysterious Ways. But remember that mystery in Scripture, and you're going to see that word a few times in our text this morning, is not meaning that there's a puzzle that we have to solve, but instead this is something that God had previously hidden or veiled, either partially or completely, that He has now revealed. The ending of that song said, God will make it plain. This morning we're going to talk about the mystery and how God has revealed that mystery. But just if you look at the very beginning of this morning's lesson in verse 1, it begins with, for this reason. Well, if you're going to start with for this reason, we better understand what he's been talking about before, right? And so just a real quick recap of how we've gotten to chapter 3. We've had four lessons so far. And the first one of those lessons, looking at the first half of chapter 1, was all about blessings. Paul writing to these Christians, telling them how much they have been blessed. The blessings came from the Father. They were given through the Son. They have been sealed by God's Holy Spirit. And then the second lesson, the second half of chapter 1, was a prayer, a written out prayer from Paul. And that prayer was all about knowledge. Things he wanted them to know. He was praying constantly to God that they would be filled with knowledge. And we talked about how if Paul, in his letters, he consistently worded prayers about knowledge. If it was important for those Christians to be filled with knowledge, it's important for us to be filled with knowledge of the Word of God. And then in chapter 2, Paul goes back to the fundamentals of the gospel. And we did two lessons out of chapter 2, which are really, those are mirror images of each other, just presented in two different ways. The first one of those lessons from the first half of chapter 2, Paul uses the metaphor of death and life, saying that, you know, you were in your previous state, you were dead, but you've now been made alive in Christ. I was listening to something last night, and the speaker said, God didn't send Jesus just to make bad people into good people. He sent Jesus to make dead people into live people. I'm like, yeah, that's right. I mean, we were dead and now have been made alive. And then the second part of chapter 2, presenting the same material, the same fundamental elements of the gospel, but from a different angle, he says, you were previously separated. You were apart. And you've now been brought together. You've now been brought into, you know, the building of God, the kingdom of God. You are being built up along with your brothers and sisters on the foundation built by the apostles and the prophets, whose chief cornerstone is Jesus. And that's how we got to where we are when he says, for this reason. And so he says, hey, for this reason. Well, what reason? Well, I think he's saying because of these fundamental elements of the gospel. Because of the fact that you were dead and now you're alive, the fact that you were separated and now you're together, for this reason. But then Paul interrupts himself. Look at verse 1. For this reason, I, Paul, prisoner for Christ Jesus on behalf of the Gentiles. And in most translations, modern translations, you're going to see a dash. You know, if you've got the old King James, it doesn't have a dash. But more newer translations have a dash. And the reason why that dash is there is to tell you that Paul is interrupting himself. While he's writing, or having somebody write this for him, he's interrupting himself. And he doesn't pick back up on this idea until verse 14. If you got your Bible, this is not in the handout. Look at verse 14. How does verse 14 begin? For this reason. So everything from verse 2 through 13 is Paul interrupting himself. When I, you know, most of you know that one of the things that Sarah and I do together a lot is we run together. We run a lot. We ran 10 miles yesterday together. When Kate was younger and still at home, the thing that Kate and I did together a lot was we hiked. We hiked a lot. And when Kate was a lot younger, one of her favorite things about hiking was if we were on some trail, you know, a main trail, if she saw some other trail that broke off from the main trail that was obviously not as trafficked as the main trail because you'd see a lot of growth over it, she just wanted to go down that trail and see what was there. And she would call those offshoot trails. Daddy, can we go on that offshoot trail? Well, verses 2 through 13, that's an offshoot trail. Paul interrupts himself and he says, wait a minute, let me take you down this offshoot trail. Let me take you down this side road for just a minute before we come back on the main trail, come back on the main road. Okay? And he says this is Paul interrupting himself. He says, well, before I get to my main point I'm going to make, he says, assuming that you have heard, well, back to the beginning, he says, I prisoner, and we talked about this back in the beginning, that this is one of those prison epistles where Paul wrote this, most likely from Roman prison. He says, a prisoner for Christ Jesus on behalf of you Gentiles. And just as a real, I've got a reference there to Acts 21, but just as a for me, a side road here, just kind of thinking about that, you know, Paul was accosted by the Jews when he came back to Jerusalem at the end of his third missionary journey. And one of the things that they were so upset about was his, you know, ministry to the Gentiles and he had the accusation that he was corrupting Judaism with his interaction with the Gentiles. And so he says, it's really, I'm in prison because of Gentiles. And then he says in verse 2, this is the interruption. He said, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you. Now, you're going to see the word grace a couple times in this morning's reading, and we tend to think of grace just in terms of the grace that is received that saves us. But this grace is a little different that Paul's describing. This is the grace that was specific to him, the grace that was given to him to be able to perform his mission. Because Paul, prior to interacting with Jesus on the road to Damascus, was what? He was a Pharisee. He was a persecutor of the church. He was going to Damascus with orders that if needed, he could even, you know, put Christians in prison, could kill them. But he says, hey, God gave me grace and stewardship, meaning he has given me something that I am responsible for and he is expecting me to use it. He says, I assume that you've heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you. We'll talk about this more in a minute. It was specifically said to Paul many times, but if you look in Acts chapter 9, that you're going to be my apostle to the Gentiles. And God told Ananias in Damascus that's what I'm calling him out for. But he says, I assume you've heard of that. And then verse 3 says, how the mystery, and again, not a puzzle, not an enigma, not a riddle that we have to solve, but something that was previously hidden that's now been revealed. And here he says very specifically, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation. Okay? I want you to hang on to that for just a minute. We're going to come back and talk about that. And by the way, the first blank, we just hit that word, is the word mystery. These first six verses are all about mystery, the mystery of God. He says, I assume you know about the stewardship and grace and how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. Back in chapter 1, he had referred to the mystery being revealed to us. And so he had earlier briefly mentioned the mystery, but he says, when you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ. Okay, again, hang on to those two verses. We're going to come back. And he says, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets, just at the end of chapter 2, again, there were no chapters when he wrote this. He was talking about this building that's being built, that you're being built into this structure that is built on the foundation of the prophets and the apostles. And we talked about this last or 2 weeks ago. The apostles were one, apostles of Jesus Christ, one sent by Jesus to be his ambassadors with his full authority. So they spoke for Christ. A prophet was one who spoke for God. And yes, there were prophets in the New Testament as well as the Old Testament. Prophet Agabus that prophesied about the coming famine that was going to hit Jerusalem. There's prophets in the New Testament. He says, hey, this revelation was not made known, this mystery was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. And then in verse 6, here's the core of what the mystery is, at least as it pertains to these Gentiles. And verse 6 is a great summary of chapter 2. Okay, so this is summarizing what he went into great detail talking about in chapter 2. There's three elements of this. He says the mystery is that the Gentiles are, number one, fellow heirs. Fellow heirs. On the right, I've got a little note, you know, outlining these three things that he says, fellow heirs. Well, in another letter that he wrote, the letter to the Romans, he told those Roman Christians, you can be fellow heirs with Christ. That's wow. I mean, Christ is God. He is the Son of God. And this mystery is that we can be adopted as fellow heirs of Christ. The second thing, members of the same body. Just you can be united with all of those who have given their life to Christ. We can exist as one body. And again, in Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12, talking about how the church is using the metaphor of the body, that we are all one body, though we have different functions, different gifts, different abilities. We are all one body because of Christ. And then the third thing, the third element of the mystery, partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. And on the right, I have a reference to first Genesis 12, all the way back to Genesis, where the promise was given to Abraham that through him, all nations of the earth would be blessed. And then in Galatians chapter 3, another writing from Paul, Paul said that was the gospel that was being preached to Abraham, that promise. And he says, hey, now, even you who are not physical descendants of Abraham, you are partakers in that promise because you are children in faith. That's the mystery, okay? So that's a summary of what we've already covered back in chapter 2. What's the one thing, though, that I want us to take away? I said I would go back to look at verses 3 and 4. Okay? This is the one takeaway I want, you know, that is kind of new information here. All right? He says, I'm assuming that you know about these things, but specifically how the mystery was made known to be by revelation. I want you to think about that statement. Now, that idea of it being made known to Paul by revelation is something that he explores much more in depth in the Galatian letter. The Galatian letter has a very different feel from the Ephesian letter. Matter of fact, very different feel from most of Paul's letters, except for maybe 1 Corinthians. But the Galatian letter, it seems to me obvious that Paul is writing to a church or churches in the Roman province of Galatia, that he planted all of those, that when he left, teachers came in challenging Paul as an apostle, challenging the message, possibly even saying Paul is nothing but a puppet of those in Jerusalem. And Paul goes on to say in Galatians, and I'm going to paraphrase, but in essence, I wasn't taught the message of the gospel by any man. He says, after I encountered Christ on the road, after I went to Damascus, I went out into the desert for 3 years, and I received a revelation from Christ. I received it firsthand, straight from the source. And then he explains in Galatians, when I finally came in contact with Peter in Jerusalem years later, he says, we compared the messages that we had received and we had nothing to add to each other. Well, why? Well, because they had both received it from the same source. I don't know if this is still a thing, but when I was a kid, we used to play this game called telephone. Anybody ever play it? You know what I'm talking about? A few of you? Yeah, the younger ones are saying yes. But you get a bunch of kids and you sit in a circle, okay, or a semicircle. And the first kid would come up with something that they were going to tell the next kid, right? And you'd whisper it into their ear. And then they'd whisper all the way till it gets to the last person, right? And then the first person would say, well, okay, what did you say? And they'd say out loud what they told the person next to them. Then the last person would say, well, what did you hear? And it would always be something just completely different. Why? Because it had been passed through so many people. But what Paul is saying is, it didn't pass through anybody. I received it directly from Revelation. Well, what do we do with that? Go down to verse 4. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ. You can have confidence that what I am writing to you is coming directly from the source. So when you inevitably question things that are in Scripture, and you go, where did this come from? Paul says, my message came straight from the source. And I was thinking about this, you know, how consistent the writings of Paul are from letter to letter to letter to letter. How you have these same concepts that show up over and over. Why is that? Because that's the message that came from the source. The message that came from the source. And so the takeaway that I think the new thing that Paul is introducing here is not only did I receive the mystery, but you can have confidence that what I'm revealing to you is straight from the source. It's straight from the source. Take that with you. Take that with you. Can I have confidence in these writings? You know, what you think about the New Testament and the Old Testament, written all by apostles and prophets, right? And so he says, you can have confidence in that. And picking up in verse 7, he says, of this gospel. Okay, well, now he defines the mystery with one word. So where he gave it three pieces in verse 6, he now in verse 7 says, this mystery, it's the gospel. Okay, back in chapter 1, remember he had said that this gospel, this plan, had been there from before the beginning of time. He says, of this gospel, I was made a minister. And that's the second word, minister. Okay? That's the second word. Paul says, I was expected when I received this mystery, when I received the stewardship of the gospel, when I received the grace of God to be a minister of the gospel, I was expected to take it out. I was expected to take it out to the world. He says, I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace. Again, the grace that was given to him to be an apostle to the Gentiles, which was given to me by the working of his power. And he says, this is verses 8 and 9. This is the task that he was given to me, though I am very least of all the saints. And again, something Paul said multiple times, including in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 9. He was the least of all because he had been one who persecuted the church. Paul never forgot that. And he says, the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. That was my task. I had received this revelation, this mystery, the knowledge that others did not have. And so my mission was to teach it to the Gentiles. And he says, and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things. So that was my mission. That's what I continue to do. I continue to take the mystery, the revelation, the gospel, and proclaim it to the Gentiles. I continue on my mission. But the next verse to me is the takeaway for us. It's important to know what Paul's mission was, because we can't fulfill the next part unless we understand that we are responsible for continuing kind of the custody of this gospel message. Okay? Look at verse 10. So that, okay, everything prior, 7, 8, and 9, is Paul explaining what his task was. I was supposed to do this because I had received this revelation. But here's the reason. So that through the church. Now, that word church there, we remember many, many months ago, we did a big, long study on the mission of the church. And the first week, you may not remember this, but the first week we talked about that word that's always translated church, and it's the word ecclesia. Those who are called out. Okay? Who is that? That's us, right? That's us. We have been called out from the world, called out from death, called out from separation. So that the church, through the church, the manifold, meaning many-sided, okay? The manifold, many-sided wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. And I don't know about you, but that the first time I ever read that, I was like, what? What are you talking about? Making it known to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places? What does that mean, Paul? Am I supposed to go up and teach angels? What are you talking about? Let me tell you what I think it means. I think it means that this mystery, this gospel that was partially or fully hidden, was even hidden from beings in the hierarchy in heaven. The angelic authorities, the hierarchy. That even the angels did not fully understand how God was going to rescue humanity. That even the angels didn't fully understand the glory of God. And what Paul is saying is that our responsibility is to so reflect this revelation that we have received, to so reflect the mystery that has been shared with us, that even those in the heavenly places who were not aware of the fullness of God's glory will begin to understand His glory through how we reflect what has been given to us. That's a big responsibility. That's a big responsibility. He says, that's the reason why I shared it with you, so you can take it and reflect it to such a degree that even those in heavenly places will have a fuller understanding of the glory of God. Wow. I have a quote there on the left. The church becomes a mirror through which the bright ones of heaven may see the glory of God. That's an awesome responsibility, brothers and sisters. Steve led us in the song, Ring Out the Message. It's not just something that we're expected to occasionally do. It's expected to be what we are and who we're about. That we take that message and ring it out to the world so much so that the angels in heaven can gain a fuller understanding of the glory of God. And he says this was according to the eternal purpose. A reminder back to chapter 1 that this was not some second plan, some contingency plan that God came up with because the first one failed. No. This has always been the plan. This was according to the eternal purpose that has been realized in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the core of the gospel. This is through Jesus. Every blessing we have received is from the Father and through the Son. And in whom, meaning in Jesus, in whom we have boldness. Boldness both to reflect the gospel and also boldness to approach the Father. Access with confidence. I've got a reference there to Hebrews 4. Hebrews 4 talks about how because of Jesus being our high priest, because of where he is now and what he did on this earth, we can have confidence to approach the throne of God to ask for grace and mercy. I didn't put this there, but I could have put Romans 5. That because of what Jesus has done for us, that we have access to the grace of God. Now, we have access that we could not have without him. With confidence through our faith in Him. So I ask you not to lose heart over what I am suffering for you, which is your glory. He says, I'm suffering because I am fulfilling my mission. So don't lose heart because of that. Because this is what I'm supposed to be doing. And again, the two takeaways here. The message that we receive, if it's from the Word of God, we can have confidence in it. Because those whose words are recorded in Scripture are those who have received the revelation from God. But then the second takeaway is that because we have been ministered to, because we have received this message that Paul and others shared, it is our responsibility to take that message to the rest of the world, to reflect it to those who are around us. All of this on Paul's little offshoot trail where he interrupted himself. These two incredible things that Paul just threw in there as a side note. But oh, how weighty they are. The reason why this is so important, the reason why that we need to reflect this to the rest of the world, is because we understand that without Christ, the rest of the world has no hope. None of us have hope without the message of the mystery of God. And this mystery that has been there from before the beginning of time, this gospel, is what is the only thing that the world truly needs. And that means that everyone that's in here needs it as well. And if you're here this morning and you've never committed your life to Christ, we encourage you to think about taking those first steps this morning. If there's also, if there's anything we can do for you, one of the reasons why we exist as a body is to be there for each other, to comfort, to encourage, to pray for, to build each other up. If there's anything that you need, anything you need prayers for, any encouragement that you need, anything you want to share with us, this is also an appropriate time to do that. We encourage you to come while still doing our invitations.